Hey there, welcome back to The Horrible Show. This is June 29th, 2010. We're here, just kind of took a week off just to recover from E3 and let life get in the way of the website a little bit, and it's going to happen from time to time, but we're back to kind of pick up where we left off with E3 and looking forward to the rest of 2010. I've got four of the cursed with me today. I've got Cole Monroe out in California. Cole, what's up?
Not much. It's hot.
It's hot there, too?
Yeah, oh my God, yes.
We got Christina, Jade Tiger. How you doing, Christina?
I'm hot as well.
And without then, the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Hey, don't hit on the gamer chick. They're sensitive.
Oh.
We covered that a couple weeks ago. We covered this a couple weeks ago.
And Ben, Endless Ben out in New York. What's up, Ben?
It's apparently a nationwide heat wave because it's hot out here, too.
That is crazy. Someone should write a song about that, but based out of St. Louis. And I'm your host, J-Devil, Justin. Good to be back. So I just thought I'd, before we dive into video games, it's been a bit since we've had everybody in one place, so we'll try to get the banter going, just see what everybody's been up to, and Cole, what's been going on in your world?
Well, last week, I got my Xbox. I'm pretty pumped about it. Amazon was all kind of messed up on their shipping time, so I didn't know exactly when I was going to get, or FedEx, actually, and they said their shipping times was down, but I got it on Wednesday, and then I had to go to work the next day, so I really haven't got a chance to play it until today.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, I played it, but not that much, like a long sitting, at one sitting, you know. So, yeah, I bought a lot of games already, all electronically. No game boxes are sitting in my house right now for the Xbox.
That's interesting. You should see how long you can keep that going.
I think I can go pretty long, actually, although I did almost buy... I did almost buy Mass Effect 2 because it was like $30 at Target or $40 at Target when I saw it yesterday. So
yeah, that might be a good one to cave on.
And I'm trying to continue the Horrible Knights quest for always having somebody play Mass Effect. So going through the first game right now.
I support this endeavor so I can continue talking about it.
Yeah, so I'm about 9 hours in right now, so
I'm pretty sure that we'll always have somebody playing Mass Effect or Red Dead Redemption, the way it's looking right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Christina, how about you? What's been going on?
I went to like a Chuck E. Cheese kind of place on Saturday for a friend's birthday. She's 32. Okay. We went to Cheesecake Factory, and then we went to, like, a Chuck E. Cheese place afterward. I took one step in the door, and I kind of went out loud, I'm too old for this.
So no kids involved?
No, it was kind of strange. We were all just sort of following each other around, feeling a bit out of place.
Just got to Dave and Buster's.
The older kids. Yeah. It's very similar. We actually did that last year for her birthday. Oh. So there's a tradition, I guess. And I've just been playing a Red Dead Redemption. Huge game. But I managed to blow through it in 2 weeks because that's what I do.
Yeah.
I've already sold it on Amazon. And it sucked because I didn't get that 100% completion thing. And then, like, the day after I sold it, I saw on Xbox Live, you know, exactly how to do it. I'm like, shit. So, I may have to borrow that one.
I think somebody can get you a copy. That's for sure.
I did have two oh my god moments while playing that game. The first was when you get to Mexico, you're riding the raft, you get to Mexico, you jump off the raft. Maybe I imagined it, but your buddy Irish there, this crazy Irish bastard, reaches under a horse, and they show, yes, like, this low-angle shot, and he fucking grabs a horse dick. Like, just in front of the camera, like, just nice horse dick grab shot.
To be fair, I think he just grabbed his balls.
Did he? Because it happens so fast,
matter?
I was just like, whoa!
I think it's important to clarify.
That was a first.
It's a Wild West,
so,
man.
There was that. And no, then there was just the full-on sex scene. I mean, easy. Where you walk in on them doing it, and the woman runs out full frontal, boobs and bush. I mean,
hey,
I was shocked.
Way to ruin the highlight.
I just can't believe they got away with that. You know, I know it's rated M for mature, but can they do that level of nudity? And
it's for M for mature, they can. If you've played God of War, they're not afraid of that stuff. So, and it's
rock. Not played God of War.
The company's name is Rockstar. They're gonna push some boundaries. So
true dat.
The one thing I wanted to say on the Chuck E. Cheese stuff is two guys could not get away with that, by the way. Two, like, just single dudes can't walk into.
Oh, no. Cheese. Yeah. Actually, my brother got banned from a Chuck E. Cheese once. It was down the street from a high school. and he and I love Chuck E. Cheese pizza, and still to this day. So we'll, like, back in my house in California, we'll walk down to the Chuck E. Cheese and just get a pizza to go. And they check you, they stamp your hand, make sure that, you know, if you're a kid, you've got a stamp with your designated parent. And so it was just me, my brother, and some of his friends, and they let me in, and they stopped him. And he's, like, 4 years younger than me. I think at the time he had to have been over 18. And they said, we can't let you in because you're a group of guys, no parent. And I'm like, but I'm over 21. You know, I should count as the adult here. And they said, no, we're sorry. So they sent him and his friends outside the restaurant to wait while I ordered the pizza next to a sign that says, we do not discriminate against age, race, etc. So that was a fun experience.
Ben, we dropped you there for a second, but it looks like you're back. What's you've been a little bit busy, not much time for gaming, but what else has been going on?
Yeah, sadly, not much time for gaming at all. I've been finishing up my audio engineering program, so I spent the last couple weeks doing projects and recording studios and that sort of thing. So I'm just kind of getting back to the gaming world after a couple week break.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and that, of course, now I'm having to kind of balance myself between looking for a job and spending all day playing video games.
I don't understand. That's why you start a website and just hope that somehow you can make a life out of playing video games. That's,
yes, if only I could make that my job.
We're working on it. I had a little belated Father's Day with my dad this weekend, and I bought one of the new Xboxes as well, and so I kind of gifted my old Xbox 360 Pro to my dad. They don't have a DVR or anything like that in their setup, but he started recording the TV onto his new Windows Vista computer. Well, it was new, however, a couple years ago. But he's been using Windows Media Center a lot, and I knew I could hook it in there and have him be able to watch the shows he's recording on his computer in the living room, which it took him about 15 or 20 minutes of me demoing this as, it's not a video game system for you. That's not what it is. It's a media hub. So I'm just trying to warm him up, and he just gave me the strangest looks at first, but it clicked about 20 minutes into it, and they also have a Netflix subscription, so they'll be able to tie into that, and just kind of interesting to see my dad's avatar in my buddy list now. So fuzzy piano man, he might need some friends, but
oh, I'm gonna friend him for sure.
Fuzzy piano man.
He likes Fuzzy Zeller the golfer, and he's a big Billy Joel fan. So
he's a hell of a piano player, too.
Yes, and he also plays both very well, golf and piano. Sweet. So,
at the same time.
That would be, maybe with the new Rock Band 3 accessory, he could take the keyboard with him.
Oh, hells yeah. Is that Rock Band 3? It's going to have the piano?
It's got the keys. They're not
cutting you off. I'm cutting you off. We're getting to that later.
Right. Sorry.
Anyway, but
I just start talking about Rock Band 3 this early.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll take up an hour and a half of just that.
Good catch.
So one thing I wanted to start before, just kind of like do a warm up gaming question, or just to get the banter going, was each week we're going to kind of do a on the spot type of question. We'd like you Any of the listeners, feel free to submit your own. Just email us again, simon@horriblenight.com. But we're just going to kind of do some random questions just to get the conversation going. And I kind of had a vivid memory pop up in my head. So we'll start with Cole. But I want to know what was the first game you can ever remember buying at the store, whether it's alone or with your parents? What was the first game?
Well, it was with my uncle. He used to take us shopping for Christmas because he was pretty uncreative, I guess. And I don't even remember what store it was, but he was like, you can get a video game if you want. And for some reason, I picked The Adventures of Bayou Billy. I have no idea why. That game was hard as hell. I don't know if I saw it in a Nintendo Power or something like that. But yeah, that was the first game that I can remember getting in the store.
I probably would have thought it was Crocodile Dundee, and that would have been enough for me. What about you, Christina?
I think it was for Game Boy Kirby's Dream Land, the original one. I think that's the earliest one I can remember.
He started on the Game Boy. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun game, and I especially loved the second one that came out, because the first one was pretty linear and quick to get through, and the second one they started adding like little abilities, so if you swallow certain guys you got their ability, you could, you know, and then you could kind of combine them, and there were animals to ride on, whatnot. So fun game.
And I think that was that was on the regular Game Boy, the two color. Yep. That's crazy. What about you, Ben?
You know, I've been racking my brain. I don't really remember. When I was a kid, I remember I did a lot of renting. I didn't buy that many games myself because I just kind of amassed a collection through, you know, various holidays and things. but I must have started buying them at least. I mean, it must have been a Game Boy game or a Super Nintendo game. So I'm going to go with, actually, I remember that I bought Super Metroid myself, and that's probably my favorite Super Nintendo game of all time. So I'm going to stick with that.
that's a hell of a starter. Wow, that's quite a rep. It I don't know why it stood out in my head, but I remember going with my mom to I think it was the Hills department store. I don't think those exist anymore. It was before my birthday, and I got to pick out what game I wanted because she wasn't even going to try to pretend to be able to shop for me. So I think I just picked the first one I saw, and this was for the NES, but I got Major League Baseball for the NES. And I came home and played it and realized I didn't want Major League Baseball. I wanted RBI Baseball. And I can't remember why, because that, you know, that one actually had the players' licenses, but I just knew that I had played a baseball game at my friend's house recently, and it wasn't this one. It was, I needed RBI Baseball, so we took it back. I made her take it back. I was that much of an asshole of a little kid. So for the rest of the show here, we're gonna kind of pick up where we left up on E3. I have a little bit more to say about the EA press conference, and then we're just gonna kind of review the highlights of E3 and what stood out to us, what was missing, and even go into that all-important debate of who won E3. And then from that, we're going to move on to everybody's kind of picked a game to focus on for one game for the rest of 2010. So we'll go through our list there, and then I'll give you all an update on what's going on with HorribleNight.com and get to any parting words or emotional rants that have come up in the meantime. So so we're going to go ahead and get started with the EA press conference. I kind of got into a little bit of Bulletstorm, but they actually started off their show demoing kind of a conflicting game for me, in that it's from one of my favorite developers, Criterion, who is known for the Burnout series, and they've actually been working on a new Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, and it looked spectacular. It looked like looked like it felt like looked and felt like burnout, which is all I'm asking for. Great sense of speed, great action, great wrecks. But integrating the whole racers versus cops type of gameplay from the original Hot Pursuit and the Need for Speed series, which I have never gotten into, but it's continually billed as the biggest racing series that's out there. Does anybody else have any experience with the Need for Speed series in general?
Yeah, I played the original Hot Pursuit, and I've played the first, I forget what it was, the drag racing one, Undercover, I think it was.
Underground?
Or Underground, yeah. I played that. Yeah. I really liked Hot Pursuit. I don't even remember what system I played it on. Maybe the original PlayStation?
I don't know.
Does that sound right? But I had fun with it. I think I actually rented it, and I had a lot of fun, but I haven't played a Need for Speed in a long time since Underground, and that was a couple, 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, it's just been... It has the name... The brand has the name recognition, and EA has been trying to just revitalize the brand by pulling in fresh developers. And, I'm just kind of nervous that... I kind of liked where Burnout was going. Burnout Paradise was pretty much perfect, and I would rather see Criterion rewarded with being able to keep doing their own thing than lumping it into an existing franchise. But I've got to be optimistic about what they're showing, even though, the Hot Pursuit gameplay of, just cops chasing racers seems kind of doesn't seem all that exciting for multiplayer. It just seems like it would get really repetitive really quick. But they're doing some interesting things with being able to call in spike strips or helicopters and people to help chase down these racers. And then they've also got a big kind of online log of your performance and trying to tie it into the achievements of your friends, and just basically anytime you log in, you see what records of yours have been beaten by all of your friends, and just trying to keep the competition going that way. And I'll give them the benefit of doubt at this point, but the trailer looked great. The demo was great. They had kind of a versus mode going on during the conference. And they also, it took me a second. I'm a huge 30 Seconds to Mars fan, but they integrated that 30 Seconds to Mars song into the trailer. And I got pretty excited about that when I noticed that the third or fourth time, because they just used a subtle portion of that. But it was pretty neat. Anybody else have anything to say about Need for Speed before I move on?
Nah.
I think I played one of them on the original Xbox, and I remember it being really fun, but I don't have any idea which one it was.
I
think it was Underground. Because I remember playing that too.
Yeah, that must have been it.
It was all right, but yeah, I'm not a big racing game.
Racing. I just don't know why that is the go-to brand. I don't know what really stands out for people. But hopefully Criterion gets a home run out of it. One of my other games I was looking forward to the most about finding out more and excited about its release next year is Dead Space 2, which was Dead Space 1 was easily my game of the year when it came out, and I believe that was 2008. But I love horror games. I love games that disturb me and scare me, and nothing has come close to Dead Space 1. And the thing that's been troubling me about the news about Dead Space 2 is that they're afraid that they made their game so scary that it was driving people away from actually buying it and playing through it, that they would just be too nervous. And they've been trying to focus on making the action faster and making the game a little bit less tense and creepy. But in their demo, I didn't see any of that. I mean, it did look faster, but it looked just as scary as Dead Space 1 and just as gory and just as crazy. And I can't wait for more of that. Absolutely love that series, and very, very excited about that one.
Is that one of those games where you have to kind of conserve your ammo, like Resident Evil?
A little bit. You got to pay attention to it, but usually you're cycling between maybe two or three weapons, and they can all kind of get the job done. There's even an achievement in the first game for beating the game using only the primary weapon, the cutter, and I never really felt pressed to conserve my ammo in that game. I was just too nervous about what the hell was going to jump out at me next, honestly.
Wow, and I feel stupid because I played through the demo, and I couldn't get through the demo on the easiest setting for Dead Space because I kept running out of fucking ammo, and I don't know what I was doing wrong, if I wasn't shooting the things in the right spot. I don't know.
I mean, that game is all about strategic dismemberment, and it's all about where you slice limbs. So it's
I didn't pick up on that, so I was getting my ass kicked.
No, I highly recommend that, the Dead Space 1 experience, for anybody that hasn't tried it yet. It's play it with the lights off, play it in the middle of the night, and put some headphones on, and hope your roommate doesn't come home in the middle of it. So. the next kind of overdrawn demo that they did was for Medal of Honor. It's very, very silly, actually, in the end, in that they were trying to show off the multiplayer portion of it, and they brought 24 people up on stage, 24 individual screens to show that they would all be, that it was ready to go and they'd all be playing. And so then behind them is this just the screenshot divided into 24 screens with, I think they kind of focused on one in the center, kind of overtook the rest, but you could tell it was pre-recorded, and it was so chaotic you can't even really tell what's going on. All it does is it looked like a modern war multiplayer game, and the single player portion is actually being developed in a different engine than the multiplayer portion. Multiplayer is being developed by DICE, the Battlefield guys, and then EALA is doing the single player portion of Medal of Honor, and a lot of question marks about the game. I mean, graphics wise, it looks solid. The trailers look dramatic for the single player. It looks like the production values are there, but everything I'm reading about people that have played it, it looks like it's going to miss the mark. But
I watched video of the beta today, and it just looks, a multiplayer beta, and it just looks like Modern Warfare.
It looked like Modern Warfare with Battlefield type audio.
yeah. So I'm not interested in it at all because I'm kind of over Modern Warfare and that type of shooter. But I don't know. More power to them if they can make it successful.
I mean, I'd kind of like to see EA win this and kind of take it back, since, you know, Call of Duty, actually, those guys splintered off of Medal of Honor originally, and just if it came back, right, it'd be just kind of a fitting end to this whole mess. But I don't see it happening. And what's your take, Christine? I know you were heavy into both Modern Warfare and Battlefield, so
I'm trying to think if I ever played a Medal of Honor game. I want to say I have, but if I did, it didn't stand out in my mind. Do they typically have more, like, vehicle kind of stuff? Or...
Battlefield's always been...
That's the Battlefield franchise.
That's right.
I mean, Medal of Honor and Call of Duty were... I mean, they were the dramatic World War II shooters.
Right.
And there was very little difference between them, honestly. It's just that Call of Duty kind of polished the presentation a lot more, so Medal of Honor went away. Don't know about that one.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not really... I don't need another war game, you know? I mean, heck, a bunch of you pressured me into getting Battlefield, and how many times did we play that, guys?
How many times? Hey, those guys aren't here. Those are the ones that are being flaky.
They're
right
listening.
Now.
They're listening.
Yeah. And, they hear. And when I say the word flaky, I can feel one of them cringing right now. So, the kind of middle portion of the EA presentation was a little bit weak. They had this whole dramatic thing about The Sims 3 that was just going into how people play the game and how it's more than a game, and all it was to announce that it's coming out for consoles, and it was really weird. They did their whole EA Sports stuff. Peter Moore was out there. I love Peter Moore. And they actually brought out Joe Montana to talk through the new changes to Madden and the play calling and that kind of thing. It's kind of interesting to see Joe Montana at a video game conference.
I don't understand. Does Joe Montana need money? Or what's the story with him and his special shoes?
That shape up money is not a lot.
I don't know what's going on with Joe. He looked all right though. He looked more comfortable than I expected. So,
and he knew his stuff too. So,
and then they took a special time to actually point out all the people that were sitting in the audience that are EA partners that don't have games to show yet, like the guys that left Infinity Ward to form Respawn, and then Insomniac, the guys behind Ratchet and Clank. They've announced they're doing their first game that is going to be available for all consoles, and that's through the EA. So they're just, it was kind of a, hey, we've got more stuff coming. We can't really show anything, but these guys are awesome and they're with us. That kind of moment. And then Crysis 2 3D stuff. Crysis 2 looks amazing. But it's still just another shooter, and then a Boltstorm stuff, which I covered last week. So the last thing though that was kind of glossed over in the actual conference, but I think still is an important game we're talking about, is Star Wars: The Old Republic. And I believe Ben, you were wrapped up in World of Warcraft at one point, right?
I certainly was. Yeah.
What about you, Christina? Have you been into any MMOs?
Oh yes, okay. And I had to quit. Okay. I was on Final Fantasy XI.
I think we've all been through that. Though we had a great time at one point in our lives and had to stop. And,
don't include me in that.
And this game scares the hell out of me. Because it looks like it's taken a lot of what WoW's done right, adding the BioWare depth of story and dialogue trees, and I mean the whole game has voice actors throughout. The one thing that frustrated me at the conference that I'll actually get into later is the trailer they showed was all just, you know, pre-rendered cinematics. And but later I dug into some of the other stuff they were showing, and they showed the build out of the bounty hunter class and how your armor changes as you go through the game. And I saw some more reveal stuff at PAX last year, and it looks like they're getting this one right. And this is the closest thing I've seen to an actual competitor to World of Warcraft. And it'll be really interesting to see once this game comes out, what happens there. I mean, you can't take down Warcraft at this point, but it could. If anyone was going to figure it out, I still think it's BioWare. So,
is this a monthly fee kind of game?
I would. Yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Fuck.
Is it going to be just PC?
Yeah. There's.
Okay. Can I send my future self a message real quick?
Sure.
Don't play this fucking game. I know you love Star Wars, but don't play it, all right? It's a fake avatar, a fake world. Don't put your money in the toilet. All right.
Now from the future, Christina, shut up past me.
I'm a level 75 Boba Fett bounty hunter, Jedi ninja warrior, so fuck off.
I'm confused. Future Christina sounds like a man and a child.
Yeah, well, a lot happens in the future.
I'm officially scared, and I hope the Mayans were right. All right. Well, that concludes the EA conference in a much more colorful way than it actually concluded itself. So what I'm kind of curious is, Cole and I were rather obsessive about E3 while it was going on, especially the first
three years. Just a little bit.
To the point where we obviously burn ourselves out to not even being able to handle the site last week. And But I know where I get my news, and I'm just kind of curious where the normal video game news consumer gets their news. So, Ben, I know you were busy with school and all that stuff, but I'm just kind of curious, like, when you guys were trying to follow up on E3, where did you find you were looking to?
You know, this is, I swear to God, not a shameless plug, but I honestly got most of my stuff from our site and from our, like, Google Reader shared things.
Oh, nice.
So thank you, Justin and Craig, for picking out all of the stuff that I really needed to know about.
I don't think Craig was all that helpful.
Cole, oh, I'm sorry. I meant Cole. he knows who I meant.
Yes. Yeah, we tried to simplify it, at least find the highlights and give you at least a trailer or a news article to follow up on. Christina, is there anything that stood out to you when you were trying to backtrack and find out your information?
Same thing, you guys. Basically, I was finding out about E3 as we were talking about it 2 weeks
all right.
ago.
Lots. All right. I'm your cheat sheet. I'm sorry. Cole, I know you were kind of covering it live and not waiting on me to react, but where'd you find you were looking more often than not?
Oh, I have a four site group that I tend to go to the most, and it's Giant Bomb, Kotaku, Destructoid, and Joystick. Those are my four main sites. I actually don't really go to any other video game sites but those four, because at a certain point, it's like, even with those, it's like the same information over and over again. So
yeah,
it's hard for me to try to go to any more sites and just see more of the same.
But did anybody's coverage stand out to you out of those four? That's a good question, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I love Giant Bomb and the stupid crazy shit that they do with their videos, and they're just so freaking random, and their podcasts and stuff. I don't know. There's not really a certain writer that stands out for me on any of the other sites. It all seems to be the same. I know they're different ones, but I never really look at their bylines to see who is actually producing the content. Although I like that Jim Sterling guy. He's pretty funny.
We'll have to debate about that one coming up.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Joystick really surprised me. I found that they, during the day, they were the ones that I could go to that would... A lot of the sites were just posting things as things happened in just like one sentence or two sentence articles that were just kind of wasting my time and just giving me headlines. Joystick did a good balance of posting what you kind of needed to know, but also giving you follow-up stuff, and that plus their redesign, I was surprised how much I was relying on Joystick during the day.
Well, their partner Engadget was really good too, if I thought, for some of the tech stuff. Like they had the first kind of video for the 3DS and the unboxing for the Xbox 360 Slim, and I went there a lot too, just for that kind of stuff, more on the hardware side.
I did follow up with Destructoid anytime they were actually able to get hands-on with something, but only their articles, because I found their videos are very entertaining, but they're crazy, and they kind of just go for shock value anymore, and it can get kind of annoying. Okay, we gotta wrap this one up a little bit.
Mr. Duxworth.
And then all I want to say is then I found at the end of the day, and also the following weeks, I would go back to the Giant Bomb stuff, because that seemed to have the most quality and the right kind of depth that I needed, but it took them a little bit longer to put together than everybody else. Plus, their podcasts were just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and they don't have the resources that those other sites have. So,
and I like that they don't pretend that they do. And
yeah,
that was like, that was what was annoying me about Kotaku, was they were just posting these one or two line type of things, and it was just worthless. But it was just to get, you know, we're at E3 and we're hitting the headlines too type of feel to it. And
but I mean, Totillo, he's on there, right? Steven Totillo, his stuff is always pretty good too.
Yeah, it was just during the conference stuff. I just found I was filtering everybody out but Joystick, and then went back and caught up on stuff. So next, kind of want to talk about what wasn't at E3 that we kind of expected. Nintendo had a great conference, but one thing that they focused on last year without really revealing any details about it was this vitality sensor that, you know, can hook onto you and measure your heartbeat as you're playing the game, and the gameplay is supposed to respond, and they didn't show any applications of it last year, and they just flat out didn't show it this year. And that was just kind of odd for them to go to the lengths they did last year and then not mention it. But I mean, they had plenty on their plate with the 3DS this year, but was really surprised that they didn't mention anything of it. And then during the Kinect demo, Ubisoft, if actually showed a similar of type of device that they're creating themselves. So makes me wonder what's really going on there. Nintendo said it still exists, but anyway, I think the biggest disappointment. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my parents' treadmill from 10 years ago has that kind of technology. I'm surprised that it's been like an issue.
Yeah, I just don't see the application with everything else going on. But I can't imagine wearing something on my finger as I'm trying to play. Anyway.
I would think just a different controller, because like you said, the old exercise equipment, it was typically like just a metal bar that would feel the pulse through your hand as you grip the handles of your bike or whatever device. So if you just had a controller that had that on it, I'm done.
Yeah. I think the most disappointing thing for me was the lack of anything from Team ICO. The Last Guardian was shown last year, and these guys are the ones behind ICO and Shadow of the Colossus. And it's also been teased recently that there might be an HD kind of remake of those, similar to what they did with the God of War PS1 games for PS2 games for the PS3, and releasing those. But no news, no new trailer, nothing about it. And I had that on my list of things to watch for, and really disappointed we didn't find out anything about that.
We'll probably find out something about it later, the other like PAX or TGS or something else.
Yeah, I don't know. That team's just kind of a mystery, and I don't see it getting announced or displayed at any major conferences. I think it'll just kind of come out in Japan, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Also, no like major sequels of expected franchises. Like I kind of expected to see an Uncharted 3. Title or like logo or something, or maybe Resident Evil 6, but nothing in the realms of surprises of continuations of series that that you'd expect, usually those kind of come right after another when they've had a big year. So and I guess this really wasn't missing, but looking at the major conferences, which are Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, of course, then the other major publishers of EA, Ubisoft, Activision, and Konami was the other conference. I still feel like Blizzard almost deserves its own separate presence in these conferences, even though, yeah, they're part of Activision, whatever. They operate independently, and I like Blizzard, I don't like Activision. But with everything they have on their plate, and as much business as they drive in the industry, it just feels like they should have their own kind of separate thing that is covered. I mean, we all know what they're working on. StarCraft II comes out later in July, Diablo III, and then the World of Warcraft expansion is coming out. But it just seems I had to dig for information about any of those games, and for being industry leading titles from one of the greatest game companies out there, just it seems weird that they don't have a bigger presence, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with as much excitement as there definitely is about, at least those three franchises, I mean I'm surprised that there wasn't they don't feel the need to bring something more.
Yeah, I was looking through the release dates and stuff and just had forgotten the StarCraft 2 is getting ready to come out, and just, I don't think I even remember seeing a StarCraft 2 article at around my E3 newsfeed. So it's just kind of interesting, and the Blizzard just kind of keeps doing it their way, and it works for them, though. Give them that. So
actual inside information on Blizzard. I got to take a tour of the studio last Christmas. And StarCraft Ghost, remember that game that they were talking about for the original Xbox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I think I kind of assumed that by this point.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. No, actually, it's not a definite no. That's what I got from them. It was not a definite no, but we're not working on it. But they have all this artwork around the galleries, yeah. like just, you know, concept stuff. They've got a giant statue of the girl in their lobby, and
they'll figure out their console game at some point, but
yeah.
they also won't waste their efforts either. So
right.
Or, well, might have wasted their effort. They won't release a crap game, is what they won't do. So, lastly, to wrap up E3, the all-important, not-important-at-all question, who won? Cole, I'm going to start with you, because you followed the most, and hopefully that can help give Christina and Ben some ideas here.
Well, on a hardware side, I would have to say Microsoft won just because of the Kinect. I mean, for me personally, I'm just really excited about it and the slim Xbox 360, which is now sitting on my console entertainment center. So,
I guess yeah, if the conference converted you to a 360 owner.
Well, you know, I was gonna buy one anyway, and I'll have an article about that later this week. But yeah, I was just. It just pushed me over the edge, I guess. But I really also really like Nintendo's. I wasn't super interested in the 3DS. I want to see it for myself before I make any judgment. But the games that they showed were just amazing, and mm-hmm. I can't wait to play Zelda.
What about you, Ben? What do you think?
That was just about exactly the answer I was going to give. I think especially as far as like outside press goes, I think it's got to be Microsoft, because Kinect and redesign was all over the place.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I was shocked at how under wraps they kept that redesign until a day before or 2 days before. It was, there were rumblings of, you know, oh, there's going to be a slim one, but nobody had ever seen anything about it until the night before, which I was shocked about.
That doesn't happen anymore. They don't keep that stuff secret anymore.
I know. It's not like, you know, I guess you can't leave an Xbox in a bar. But
and the fact that they had it out, and the fact that they had it out that the end of the week too, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That made me feel a little bit a part of E3, honestly, that I could run right out there and buy that week. So.
But again, like Cole said, as far as games, I was also really excited by the Nintendo games. And Zelda in particular.
Cool. What stood out for you, Christina?
Well, I wouldn't say this would be the winner, but
that's what I'm asking. Damn it!
Sorry, but I was just fascinated
by answers.
The Ubisoft opening, the Windows Media Player, the game. those graphics, If you like dropping acid, this is the game for you. I cannot believe what I was looking at. Like, it had no goal or points or anything. Like,
you're talking about
the guy with the jazz hands who was like waving at the screen, and there were colors and weird shit and music, and it was with Media Player graphics.
Oh, that's the Res.
The game.
Thing, isn't it? The Res sequel.
It's called Child of Eden.
Yeah.
And
I that was just so fascinatingly stupid to me.
Wow, I have the opposite reaction of fascinatingly awesome. But I like Res, so, and I'm curious to see how a game like that works with motion control. So
I mean, that wouldn't be like a full on like $60 game.
Oh, no.
That'd be like an arcade game for the Kinect.
Or something in between. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That I can see. But man, it just seemed kind of structureless and
I just trippy. Thought of all the things to pick on the Ubisoft conference, you picked the one thing that I really liked. So other than the
Probably
Michael Jackson
the
dancing,
thing.
No.
Assassin's Creed, I was really looking forward to. So the Ubisoft won some points there.
Gotcha. Yeah, Microsoft definitely won on the hardware. I'm finding as the weeks go on that I am getting a little bit more interested in Kinect for myself. It's all centered around Dance Central. Like, that's just it almost has to be, I almost have to own it just to have it and to have for parties. And I already know I'm gonna buy it for other people, like for my mom and probably for cousins and that kind of thing. Just try to introduce them to it so they can try it out, because I think they'll get a lot more out of the initial launch titles than I will. But But I'll keep an eye on Dance Central, and if there's another title that jumps out to me, I might be picking up that one pretty soon. But have no interest in what Sony was doing at all. Like their lineup is just so ho-hum to me anymore. It's just like, wake me when Uncharted 3 comes out. It's pretty much, and Infamous 2. That's about it for me. Nintendo, good stuff, but not. You know, I was kind of done with Zelda during about halfway through Twilight Princess, and it looks good, but it's all more of the same. And I just, I think they're doing what they need to do, but I think I've moved on. So, but they did put on a good show. But regardless, I'm most excited about EA. I think I'm getting more invested in the third party developers and the publishers, and that battle between EA and Activision of who can be the least evil is really interesting to me. And EA has assembled a very powerful, tested group of developers in their EA Partners program, from just working with Epic and, you know, Insomniac, and now Respawn. They may not have the best year at the end of 2010 and maybe even in 2011, but man, the future just looks really good for EA. And if the industry can support what they're doing, I really like where the game industry is going, rather than Activision sequel whores. So really just, I was impressed by EA's offering. Okay, Duck is over E3. He is moved on, and we should probably move on too. So the kind of last big conversation topic I wanted to go over today is just, you know, E3 just kind of signifies the future and what's coming out. And a lot of the major titles of E3 seem to be pushing back to 2011 releases. There's a lot of spring games, and I think companies are going to be embracing those a little bit more. But I'm really interested to know what, you know, what game has your attention for the rest of 2010. And as usual, we'll start out in California and work our way east. What's on your radar, Cole?
Well, I'm going to have to cheat a little bit, and I have a list of four games that are on my one game for the rest of the 2010, but it's all included in the Summer of Arcade on Xbox Live.
Well, I think that all equals out to one game in cost, so.
Yeah, hey, there you go. But the game that is at the forefront of my list is Castlevania Harmony of Despair. I know Justin is also a big Castlevania fan, and
just a little bit. Might have named the site after it. I don't know.
But Symphony of the Night is my favorite game of all time, and this looks a lot like more of the same, and it's multiplayer. So now Justin and I can play Castlevania together. How awesome is that?
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but it's going to be fun, I think.
Like, everybody was skeptical when that game got announced that it was even real. Like, what? A multiplayer?
Castlevania.
Yeah, but the impression seemed to be good, so I'm optimistic.
And you can play as different characters throughout the history of the game, and, you know, that'll be interesting to see how each of them play differently and can maybe work together too. So
now, do you know, is it more competitive or co-op focused?
I think it's co-op. I don't think there's any competitive nature about it, but I'm not sure. There could be a competitive mode.
And is it Xbox Live multiplayer, or is there some same console multiplayer too? I know they just did. What the screenshots show is like this just crazy camera of just zooming out to the entire castle and seeing.
Yeah, you can play it as far as you can zoom out, which your characters are going to be like one by one pixel, but you can still play it that way. But I don't know if it's local multiplayer or if it's online only. I hope both, actually, because, you know, it could be fun to kill Dracula together.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, the next game that's really I'm really interested, but I don't know that much about, I just really like the art style, is Limbo. Looks like you're a boy who's, I don't even know what you're trying, what the goal is or what you're trying to do, but it's like a black and white looking game, and you try to bring, like, I saw one part where you're trying to get electricity to a sign, and that's really all I've seen. And it just, I want to know more about it more than anything else.
I think we put up a trailer for that game a couple weeks ago on the site, but yeah, there's not much known about the game other than it's the new artsy game, new indie game, but very, I think it's got a lot of physics based gameplay, and it's very moody, and, yeah, interested in knowing more, and, I'll be getting that one as well.
The other two, not that interested in, but I think one of them could be a lot of fun with playing multiplayer. Kind of when I first saw it, kind of reminded me of like a Smash TV, but probably not at all. But that would be Monday Night Combat.
Yeah, I think you're right on. It's like it's looks like it's Smash TV meets Team Fortress 2. Honestly, and anybody that's played Team Fortress 2. If they can even approach that in terms of fun factor, that game is, I guess it kind of was, it was the talk of the show at PAX East. That was kind of the unveiling of that. So hopefully, I think that game will hinge on if I can get our friends to actually play it with us. But
yeah, it'll be a lot of fun playing. It'd be like, you know, our days of old playing Blitz or something and just talking trash to each other while we're killing each other.
Why I'm putting in codes.
Yes.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Goddamn codes. And then the last game is a Tomb Raider game without the Tomb Raider name in it. so I guess it's not a Tomb Raider game at all. Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. It kind of looks like a Diablo-style game. I have no interest in it, so I don't really know that much about it.
Well, I'm interested in it, so... And you...
You can talk about it then. Is it Diablo?
You're required to buy all four of them since you made it your one game of 2000.
I will. I'll probably, you know what? If I do buy it, I'll probably like it. It's just
you should. It's got co-op in it, but it's it's an isometric action Tomb Raider game. But I think they're just trying to do this Lara Croft brand as this as the arcade level stuff, so they can try to get her in more lighter titles rather than just the one big one every 3 or 4 years, which could be fun if, as long as, you know, it's a fun game to play and has puzzles and looks like just, you know, kind of more of an isometric platformer, probably just more simple and one or two objectives. But there is a second player playing along with you, and I believe you can do co-op with that online. So I'll get into it. I love those adventure games. So and for $15, sure.
Yeah, sure. Especially if we can get, you know, me and you to buy it and play together.
Yeah, and I know Rob Q will be into it as well. He's been a Tomb Raider fan for a little while too. So
cool.
All right, Cole's done with four games in one. Let's go to somebody with a little bit more normal tastes. Christina, what's on your 2010? One game, go.
For the moment, it would have to be Crackdown 2. I know it's not going to last me the whole year, but I loved the first Crackdown, and I admit I did buy it just so I could play the friggin' Halo demo. And it sucked because the night I got my Xbox was the night that the Crackdown demo was going down for Halo. So I got to play it for basically... I ran out, bought the game, had to hook up the Xbox. I think I played it for about 2 hours and then it was off. So, but yeah, I just the ridiculous like jumping, the just heavily steroided men jumping around and throwing cars at each other, and very fun game to play with a co-op. And I believe this one's going to be 4-player co-op, so that should be a lot of fun. I liked how the narrator in the first one was kind of just a regular overenthusiastic, you know, kind of news anchor man, you know, announcing this is what you're doing, you're going to this city now. And then in this one, he's kind of got that sarcastic evil tone, which will make sense if you've seen the end of Crackdown 1. No spoilers. It kind of looks like the same environment, though. I looked at some of the buildings, I'm like, I remember this building being right here.
It's the same city, yeah.
So
it's in the future.
They, get away with that? Like, just reskinning and maybe roughing up some of the models, you know, the building knocked over. Like, okay, so that's different. I mean, are there new areas to explore, or is it just kind of this new concept that, okay, you get zombie kind of exploding crap at night, and you've got regular gang members during the day?
Well, though, it's a different company making it, so I'm sure they did a lot of stuff from scratch in that regard. But and it just takes place in the future, and that really didn't bother me too much because that city's fun to traverse around, and I think it'll feel different enough. But
I hope so.
They didn't have to make up some plot like they do in Infamous 2 to get them to another city.
I wouldn't have minded that, honestly. I wouldn't have minded exploring new areas because, yeah, I got to know the Crackdown city pretty well. So I hope I get lost in it a bit. And plus, they've got like a lot of the underground stuff due to the new zombie plot, so that'll be nice. I'm really surprised that they kept the agility orbs and the hidden orbs. Do you know how much time I spent looking for that? I literally have one orb that I am missing. I had a map one day, and I sat through hours and hours marking them off, and I got down to the end, and I couldn't find it. I have no idea which continent or which city it's on. Not a clue. Needle in a haystack. I will never find that orb, so... Well,
I did read if you 100%ed Crackdown 1, you get some bonus stuff in Crackdown 2. And I'm lying just to make you go through that.
So. Don't.
The demo for that actually came out this week. Did you play it?
Oh, I played it like 6 times on Saturday.
Still excited then?
Yeah, still excited. I never got into the whole driving portion of the game. I love the cars and driving around, but I never got into the races. I could never finish one. I don't know. It just didn't seem to come natural to me. But I mean, there's plenty of other things to, you know, the explosions, the jumping, the ledges, and one of the unfortunate side effects of Crackdown is when you're walking around in the real world, and don't make a habit of doing that, you start to look at buildings differently. I was looking at like some apartment buildings in the area and thinking like, okay, now if I were in Crackdown, how would I scale up the side of this building? Like, okay, I would jump on this ledge and then I would jump over here to this balcony and then jump over here and climb this pipe. And that was kind of a sad
side effect. If you should be admitting that.
I know.
When I first met Christina, I was kind of post Crackdown, and I got through it and trusted that she was still a decent person. So she's all right. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
No, I had the same. I bought Crackdown to play Halo 3. Didn't play it at all until I finished the Halo beta, and then I think I even came back. It might have been 2 months later before I even played Crackdown, because I played the demo. Didn't like it. I just thought it was silly. But I ended up having a lot of fun with Crackdown 1. My concern is, and I think I've voiced this in the past, is my sandbox style has already been taken care of, I think. Between Red Dead Redemption, which now I have to include because I fucking love that game, Infamous kind of gives you like this whole superhero persona to it and superpowers, which I like. And then Just Cause 2 is the ridiculous one. The like explosions, just, you know, you can grapple and parachute at any given time. And playing the Crackdown 2 demo, I played it optimistically, but the thrills that come from Crackdown, I get them better in other places now. So not to completely dismiss your game, Christina, because I love the whole presentation of Crackdown, and I don't see me picking this one up until I finish the rest of them and kind of have some downtime. But
I'll buy it day one, but I'll be bored with it in a week, guaranteed.
But
that's
my
2010 pick.
The one thing though, I didn't play any Crackdown multiplayer or co-op, so that could be interesting. And then they have, I think they have just multiplayer competitive. Like, I know they were kind of pitching like a Rocket Arena,
right.
That looks like a lot of fun and very, very retro kind of, Quake 3 Arena days to me. So if they can pull that off, and it's fun. You know, it might be a, when it drops to $30 or $40, I might be able to be talked into that one. So, cool. Well, good luck with the rest of 2010 too, Christina, since that one comes out, I think, in like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to move on to Ben. What's on your radar, Ben?
Speaking of looking at buildings differently, I'm really looking for all the way. Yeah, really. All the way to November with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I never played the original Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
I started with two.
Can I caution you real quick? Don't spoil Assassin's Creed 2 for me, because it's still on my. Yeah. I just picked that up, so. But keep going.
Yeah, fair enough. I honestly love the hell out of that game. I actually don't know what my final hour count is, but you know, I went through and I found every collectible and I did every side quest, and you know, that's just how I roll. But I thought it was it's a beautiful looking game. I thought the story was cool, how they integrate the sort of actual historical facts and historical figures. And so then for Brotherhood, they're taking, at least they're hopefully taking, all the stuff that was good about Assassin's Creed 2 and then adding these other layers of, you know, some multiplayer gameplay, some like recruitment style stuff where you have other assassins that you can recruit and deploy. And it sounds like it's going to be really, really interesting. And like I said, hopefully keeping everything that was good about the other games and adding some fun new features on top of them.
Here's my concern about that one, is just that it's only been a year since Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, I had that same thought too. So I don't know.
I have been getting equally excited about that game, and Assassin's Creed 2 was just the game that slipped through the cracks for me last holiday season. I plan on playing it before I get to Brotherhood, and everything I'm reading about Brotherhood, I was hella skeptical about this when it was announced. Actually, it was leaked by GameStop that it was even coming out. Like, how could multiplayer Assassin's Creed work and be fun was my other big question. And then just a year to develop it, and you know, I just don't like people whoring out the good franchises, because Assassin's Creed 1 really was a really unique experience. It was definitely flawed, but it sounds like they've, you know, really essentially fixed everything for Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
But man, the trailer, the gameplay demo, I think it was the single player gameplay demo they showed off at the conference, looked really great for Brotherhood. And it sounds like the single player is going to focus on the recruitment side, building up your Brotherhood of Assassins. But the multiplayer, hearing someone describe it as basically that you're trying to stay out of sight, and hunt another assassin. But at the same time, you may jump down to kill and miss this guy. But at the same time, you've been hunted the entire time by a third person. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It sounds insane. And I honestly had sort of the same kind of journey of reaction to it as you did. At first I thought, you know, that they were just slapping the franchise's name on what's probably going to be a subpar game. But I don't know, man, it just looks so cool.
Yeah. I guess the other stuff I was hearing, I love how we have to do all this, like, you know, third person, because we're not there and we're reacting to other people's reactions. But the stuff I get excited about is the way that you can excel in the multiplayer is since you're not dressed as like the main character or anything, you can actually blend in with the crowd. And if you just learn to walk amongst the AI and act as AI, that's how you will be invisible to the other assassins. And I'm really curious to see how that comes together, and have high hopes for it. And, you know, hopefully this is a different team than that's actually working on Assassin's Creed 3, which hasn't been announced but is inevitable. So hopefully they can keep those kind of on track and, you know, more power to them for adding multiplayer to this series and taking it to another level.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope that it works out to be as fun as it looks.
Christina, I know you were excited about it too. Is anything, did we miss anything?
No, the multiplayer sounds really interesting. As much as I love the main game, I would definitely look into that. I was really surprised with the BioShock multiplayer that actually was pretty fun for a while. So not one of those games that I would play over and over again like Modern Warfare, but I love the artwork. I love the story. Very original. Like, they did their research, and Da Vinci was kind of a weird dude in the second one. So the second one, yeah, was much, much more polished. And so if this one is kind of in the same vein as that one, then I think it's going to be awesome. And I'm hoping that the reason why they released this one so quickly is because the first one, they may have had a lot of that stuff done, and it was just so massive that they couldn't fit it into one game.
Well, that's what the line they were given is they've made this game for the past 4 years, and it's just much more faster to implement actual gameplay elements into it now rather than the structural type of stuff. So, skeptical, but very, very hopeful. So, very cool.
Is there a single player aspect to that game?
Yeah. I don't know how big it's going to be, but yeah. Like I said, I guess it focuses on recruiting other assassins, so, which will probably play into the story of 3, I'm sure. So maybe this is just a necessary stop too for the story. So
I think I read that it was like 15 or 18 hours worth of single player gameplay.
Cool. Yeah, very surprised by that one, and very optimistic. So, all right, kids, settle
start
in.
The ducky.
Settle in. Because I don't think I've really even talked through Rock Band 3 at this point, and I'm going to put up a link in this article that shows my Rock Band 2 library, just to give people that don't really know me some sort of inkling as to how into Rock Band I am, and I'm not so much a fan of the game as I am the idea of Rock Band as a platform and everything that Harmonix has done to implement this, from taking their DLC across multiple games and really building out their store, and then adding in the Rock Band Network stuff this year to allow people to get more songs in the game, but also do it at a professional level. And I really think that this platform was the kind of shot in the arm the music industry needed. I have bought probably, between Guitar Hero and Rock Band, I've bought probably 20 plus albums from bands that I got exposed to from Rock Band and Guitar Hero. So, heavy supporter. Rock Band 3 is coming out at the end of the year, and they've been working on it since Rock Band 2 came out 2 years ago. Some changes that have gone into the series since then. They've added vocal harmonies and that came out in Rock Band Beatles, and or Beatles Rock Band, excuse me. And so that kind of stuff was expected. They announced a new instrument for Rock Band 3, which we kind of talked about a little bit earlier. But it is the keys. It's not a key. It's not a keytar. It's not a keyboard. It's the keys. it's basically a 2-octave keyboard you can use in the keyboard focused songs, and also I guess it works as the guitar if you want to use it that way. And so that's exciting and cool. I was kind of iffy on the keyboard itself. The really exciting thing is everything they're doing with what they're calling Pro Mode, which affects all the instruments, drums. I don't know how it affects vocals, but drums, guitar, bass, and the keyboards, to basically try to take you to that next step of making it even slightly more realistic. It's more emphasized on the guitars, and that they actually have two different two different types of guitars in addition to their regular guitars that are coming out. They've got essentially a guitar that has buttons in place of all the frets. And I'm, you know, I am purely a video game rocker. I have no experience with actual musical instruments aside from piano when I was a little kid. So forgive me ahead of time for all my when I misname stuff on the guitar. But they've replaced all the basically all the frets down the neck with buttons. So there's just, you know, six buttons throughout the guitar neck. And also they have a Fender's doing an actual guitar that will work with the game that is strings, and the game can pick up where your fingers are on the strings and you're strumming and trying to replicate the experience as much as possible, but not pretending that it's the real thing at the same time. The other interesting addition is that the guitar and the pro guitar and the keyboard will work as MIDI instruments as well. They'll come with you can buy the MIDI adapter and actually use them as real instruments, which is really cool. And it isn't – my first instinct was that the pro thing is going to be impossible. But it's not only just pro mode, but within pro mode there's easy, medium, hard, and expert. And by the time you get to pro expert, you're essentially playing the song. And so all of the Rock Band 3 songs, which is probably 90-ish tracks, will support this. And hopefully – they haven't announced this, but hopefully they'll find a way to upgrade the previous songs, and I'm really excited about it. I'm torn between what guitar to get. I've heard that, you know, you do kind of have to callus up for the actual stringed instrument, but it sounds like the one with the infinite amount of buttons down the neck is a little bit unwieldy to use. So I'll have some decisions to make, but they're also going to be expensive decisions. I plan on picking up the game when it comes out with the keyboard controller, which is I think around $80, getting a guitar probably around the Christmas time once I figure out how to pay for it, because it is rather expensive. But they're doing what they need to do with this franchise, especially in comparison to where, you know, Guitar Hero's kind of taking a step back with their Warriors of Rock and embracing the fantasy element of this game. And you know, Rock Band is now kind of that series that you get out of it what you put into it, and they have added that next level to it that should pull in a few more of the skeptics that, you know, were saying this this isn't as good as the real thing, and it's not trying to be. But you know, hopefully they can start to see the transition, and you know, or you can just, you know, play with your kid on easy and medium and throughout the instruments, and you know, play the hundreds and thousands of songs that are coming out for this platform. So that's my Rock Band 3 spiel. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. The pro keyboard is, how big is that going to be?
It's big. It's, they made it for your lap, basically. It's, they said it's two octaves of keys, and I don't know how many keys that is, but.
Oh, I thought that was the regular. Is there, how many versions? You said there were multiple one version types of guitar.
There's one version of the keyboard.
Oh, I gotcha. I thought there were, okay.
But basically, it kind of splits up the keys so they correspond with the colored notes, and then as you get into expert, you start using more of the keys, and the way that it's displayed, and you'll have to find some of the videos to visualize it, but the way it's displayed on the track is basically as you're going up the scale, the track will kind of shift. So if you're getting all the way off to the right, it'll shift to the left, and you'll keep playing up the keyboard, but the track on screen will only kind of focus on that octave, I guess. And so it's they're actually pulling in some of the stuff that they did on the Rock Band version of on the PSP. How they were kind of sliding back and forth between note tracks, but it looks pretty intuitive, and you know that their ability to kind of separate their difficulty levels and allow you to kind of train up is I feel like that'll be pretty solid. So
yeah, cool.
I can't remember. I remember reading about that adapter. Does it work both ways? Will it allow you to use a MIDI controller with the game?
I'm not sure how that would work. I think they were saying that that some other types of keyboards will work, but no other types of guitars will work. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, I just wondered because I know, I mean, there is such a thing as a MIDI guitar.
Only this Fender one will work that way. And I'm sure that's just in the sensors on the neck to be able to find out where your fingers are. But
right. I will also say, you mentioned, you know, you've kind of been exposed to some bands on Rock Band. I've been really surprised with the amount of content that the record companies have been putting out for this. It makes me wonder if they've, you know, kind of learned their lesson. They've sort of been traditionally very slow to adapt new ways of distribution and new technologies. But I don't know. I highly doubt they've learned their lesson, but it's been pleasantly surprising.
I think they've at least opened up to this is, yes, we also have to put our music out here. Kind of what they kind of did with iTunes. There's kind of a wave after around Guitar Hero 2 and Rock Band 1 where, you know, you stop after Rock Band 1, you've stopped seeing like the cover artists. It's been the real recordings. And I think kind of when the Beatles wall came down, I think people started taking this seriously and the platform itself was a little bit more established. So, anyway, they're finding ways for artists to make revenue off of it. And even though that's not the focus, I think it's still all exposure focused, yeah. Honestly. So, cool. Well, that's enough Rock Band. All right. Before we take this home, just figured I would update everyone on Horrible Night, what's been going on. The podcasts are always in flux as far as figuring out the schedule for them and how long they will go. And right now, don't hold me to this, I think we're gonna stick with doing three mini podcasts in a row, and then on every fourth week we will do a group podcast. And just because I think the minis were working well with three people and trying to keep them news focused and just reactionary, but then kind of find a larger topic to bring the group back together for. So when you see mini podcasts versus the group cursed casts, that's kind of the difference you can expect. It's more topical focus with the group, and then more news news updates and just kind of weekly banter for the mini podcasts. I'd encourage all the readers on the site to comment on any articles that you find interesting. We're just right now we're kind of talking amongst ourselves, I'm finding on the site, but would really want to find out what the readers find interesting and encourage you to, you know, share the site on Facebook and Twitter and kind of get your friends of your friends involved in the site. We just would like to hear more from you. I feel like we're hitting our creative groove, but we'll be looking for more ways to engage you directly. But in the meantime, we're watching the comments and would love to hear from you and or reach out to us through any social networks out there. Our profiles kind of have all that information. So you've seen a couple more submitted articles. I believe The Prophecy actually submitted another article last week on his game testing experience. And so you'll be seeing a little bit more of him around the site, as well as his brother. I'm still working on his nickname, but we've got at least two more members coming your way, and we're excited about that. And if you do have any questions that you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, just email us at simon@horriblenight.com. We're open to anything. If you've got a on-the-spot question maybe we got something wrong that we can readdress or a topic you'd like us to cover, definitely interested in hearing from you. And actually, just before we started recording, I kind of launched the Horrible Show Twitter account. That's at the Horrible Show, and posed out there for people to ask us questions. And Craig T. So-and-so actually wrote us a question today. And he's been giving me a hard time about Rock Band since the beginning. And he asks, should those who buy a Rock Band Pro guitar that is the real guitar be required to buy an amp too? Because he is obsessed with making us real rockers or respect the real rockers. And I don't know enough about what an amp even does. I'll be honest with you. So so anybody with actual music.
The descriptions and the name.
Yeah.
So why do I need an amp then? I don't need the amp to play the video game.
Yeah, it's true.
It works as a guitar.
If it were an actual guitar, you'd need the amp to be able to hear it. But other than that.
Well, that's, I mean, they are pitching it. I mean, they're pitching it that way that, I mean, it works as a real guitar. So maybe, yeah, if it works as a real guitar and you need that, then yeah, I would.
You know, I will say this brings up something. There's always this argument from people that were like, well, people should, you know, kids shouldn't be spending their time playing Rock Band and Guitar Hero. They should learn real instruments. Right. And that always drove me nuts because, like, I mean, if something, what better to get kids interested in actually playing the guitar or in learning to play a musical instrument than games like this? I think it's actually helping the cause rather than taking away from
it. I don't think it hurts it in any way. It's exposure at the very least, and you know, it's not hurting it in any way. So I'm with you. All right, that about does it. So let's see if anybody has any colorful rants left in their system before we take off today, and we'll keep going around the table the way we have been because it seems to be working. Cole, what do you have to say before we take off?
Well, there's a couple of videos on YouTube that can prove me right, but I am not a great singer, and. Thanks to Justin for posting those videos.
I'll link to those.
Thanks. Great. But I'm really excited about Def Jam Rap Star. I like to sing, but I like to rap even better. And you can see me in some karaoke bars out in Northern California sometimes rapping to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. And doing it in the privacy of my own home is going to be a lot better than making a fool out of myself when I'm drunk in a bar. And I can curse. And cursing is fun.
Cursing is fun.
So, yeah, that's my little thing on Rapstar. I'm looking forward to it. I hope – it seems to me like in any rap song, you have to know the words or how the flow goes to be successful in a game or even in karaoke. So I hope the song list is, you know, something that looks good for me in terms of my musical knowledge or rap song knowledge. So we'll see.
I have a feeling you're kind of the target audience for it, honestly. So
yeah. Goofy white guy. Yeah, of course.
I wanted to say that the, to advise everybody to track down the videos that are out there of any nerdy white guy playing the game. Joystick actually, they had one during the show, and there's one of the Giant Bomb guys out there somewhere, but I couldn't find it. But it looks like a lot of fun, and I kind of highlighted in I believe it was a Shiniest Objects post. But I'm most interested in seeing how my goofy white friends react to playing this in front of their black friends, and as it could bring up some interesting social scenarios. So that's really all I'll say about that. But I will buy that game just to put some of my friends in that position. So, all right, Ben, what's going on?
I'm currently just starting to froth in excitement for the second Monkey Island Special Edition. Because I'm going to download it and then play it through at least twice.
Really?
Well, I got to do it once regularly and then once with the developer commentary on. So I'm looking forward to that very much.
Did they have the developer commentary on the first one?
No.
The first special edition?
No. They didn't, no.
And they need to, because I played the hell out of the first one as a kid, and the special edition. But I didn't get into the next segment of them, honestly. I mean, I love Monkey Island. I think I was past the PC at that point or something. So
yeah, the second one was pretty good. The third one I really liked, and the fourth one was fine. It wasn't. It's the Godfather 3. Like, on its own, it's fine. But when you put it up against the rest of the series, it's not that great.
That's why I wondered, was because I knew that the quality started falling down, and I was kind of surprised to see Monkey Island 2 get the push that it was. Because it just, you know, I think everybody, when they think of Monkey Island, they think of the first game and insult sword fighting and everything else around that. So.
I got a quick story about Monkey Island. When I was at breakfast on Sunday with my wife and a couple of our friends, and she had played the new 3D one, and she was telling us this story about she was in the bathroom at work, like washing her hands, and she saw this sponge, and there was some sponge name from the new game, and she just started cackling wildly in the bathroom while her coworkers were outside the door wondering what the hell was going on in there. She saw, like, it was like the Spanish word for sponge, which I don't speak any Spanish, so I'm not sure what that is.
It's la esponja grande.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, and she just started, and that was from the game, and she just started cracking up, and we were just like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm actually gonna jump in here now because Christina put on such a good show last week that we're gonna let her wrap everything up. So
pressure.
Yeah. But I just kind of during E3, I got really frustrated with a lot of the demos and the trailers for the motion games. I just kind of wanted to rant a little bit about that because I think I noticed it most at the Sony press conference because I was interested in how the Move was working. I felt like I'd seen enough Kinect and Project Natal videos before that I wasn't watching that as closely. But especially during the Sorcery demo for the PlayStation Move, they kept zooming in on the gameplay and not showing me what the guy was doing with the controllers. And I'm not interested in what's on screen. Like, I just need to process, does that game look fun? Does that game look interesting? And more importantly, how big of an idiot am I going to look like playing this game? And how effortless are my movements going to be? And they just, I know it's going to be, a lot of the video people at the show are getting frustrated with how they have to set up their camera angles to do these demos, because they have to have a camera on the gameplay and the people, and then cut it together, and that's got to be frustrating. But I mean, they kept during the conference, they'd have a shot of the gameplay, a shot of the player without the gameplay, and every now and then they'd have the shot of the gameplay with the player in a window, and that was perfect. But they never seemed to stick on that shot that was actually useful and actually tells me if I'm interested in this product. As a whole, for PlayStation Move and Kinect, and let alone the game, and it just, but I think I was just over it by the time that Sony conference came around, and they've really got to figure that out for next year. Let alone all the 3D stuff and how you show trailers for that, but that's a whole nother issue. But you know, take into consideration your audience that is actually watching these conferences, so because they're starting to cater more now to the audience at home watching than the audience actually in the theater, because they know millions of people are actually watching this now. So get your shit together next year.
Yeah.
That's right. Beat that, Christina. I was pretty riled up.
Yes,
you were. I was a little nervous there. Well, I want to apologize for my rant a couple weeks ago. You know, ranting is easy. Anyone can do it. To quote the great Stephen Fry, who was the narrator on the game Little Big Planet, articles with anger write themselves. It's an easy trap to fall into. You hand the person a microphone or a webcam, and suddenly they have the most brilliant and original observations that they must share with the world while flipping off their targets. I fucking hate those people. I especially can't stand it when during the rant they have to bullet point their observations to give the illusion of orderly wisdom. First, they must simultaneously tear down their targeted audience while winning over their eager listeners, typically using condescending language. You kids think you're clever, don't you? Dumbasses. Second, is the overuse of foul fucking language, which is only good for maybe one or two laughs at best. Okay, shitheads? Get a fucking thesaurus. Third, they get so flustered that they start repeating themselves. Fourth, they start repeating themselves, and occasionally they lose count of their arguments. Sixth, with every point that they make, they must shout louder and louder, occasionally faking a laugh as if to say, come on, people. Occasionally, rants get so ridiculous that even the person ranting loses track of what they're ranting about. And I think it's ridiculous that people get away with selling pirated software on Amazon. You'd think they'd be able to crack down on that and know that was not a game reference. Oh, but the worst thing is when the ranter runs out of things to say and they start mixing up their metaphors. Really, people? Not the sharpest crayons in the shed now, are we? And they always end their call to action like, these people need to be shut down, these people need to shut the fuck up, etc. Maybe they really just need the attention, or maybe they're trying to bring back their childhood dream of one day becoming a stand-up comedian, and what better way to start your career than a podcast available on iTunes? Shameless plugging of a product. And panicking for a closing statement, these geniuses turn to a cliche for salvation. Hell of a world. Back to you.
Wow.
I'm confused. If that was future Christina, why was it in your normal voice?
That was not future Christina.
Well, future Christina didn't get a script.
Well, thank you for tearing down my favorite part about our podcast so far.
My pleasure.
Oh, that's great.
Needless to say, I haven't said all that, and I hope that everyone realizes that was entirely hypocritical.
That was awesome.
Intentionally hypocritical. I am a huge fan of my favorite kind of humor is the stuff that is self-defeating or self-obvious. So
I think we can all join in on that, because I mean that's the whole thing about this show is we're not gonna, you know, these are our opinions, and we're also gonna change
it. They're often wrong.
Yeah, and we're gonna change your minds a lot too. But this is still a lot of fun, and yeah, I mean that's my favorite part is just to feel what's getting on your guys' nerves and what you're watching out for. So I hope to have much more of things to go against Christina's pet peeves in the future.
I can't wait.
But that's gonna do it for us tonight. Thanks a lot, everybody, for joining in. We'll be back next week with a mini cast. But until then, you know, make sure you're using your game time wisely. And we will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. Thanks. Glad to be back. Thank you.